Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll look at verse 24 as our text today, at least part of verse 24. The title of this message, Broken for You. 1 Corinthians 11, 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The phrase broken for you here is omitted by most, if not all, modern versions of the scriptures. The American Standard Version of this verse reads, This is my body which is for you. The New American Standard Version. The so-called Living Bible, the New International Version, the New World Translation, the Good News for Modern Man, all omit this phrase, claiming that it is not, quote, in the oldest and best manuscript of the Scriptures, unquote. This very serious omission is based on the use these modern versions make of the faulty Sinai and Vatican manuscripts of the New Testament. Brother Walker and Brother Chamberlain both dealt with these things in our recent conference. Well, it's on this very important phrase, broken for you, that we shall focus in this message this afternoon. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In this message, I shall ask and try to answer three very simple questions concerning this text. By doing so, I hope to bring some understanding of an appreciation for this phrase, broken for you. The first question, what does the bread of the Lord's Supper represent? Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11 says that the Lord Jesus took bread and broke the bread and said, Take, eat, this is my body. This is my body is not to be understood to mean that the bread of the Lord's Supper actually is changed into the physical body of Christ each time the supper is observed. This is my body simply means this represents my body. This is the symbol of my body. This use of a figure is similar to Christ's use of the phrase, I am the door in John 10:9. Let's turn to John chapter 10 and verse 9. Very similar use of figure here. John chapter 10 and verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, the Lord Jesus did not mean when he said, I am the door. He did not mean that he was a wooden object that swung open and closed on metal hinges. He was using a door to represent the means of entering into salvation. He was saying that to be saved, one must enter salvation through him. So here in our text, Christ uses bread as a figure to represent his human body. The bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper are symbols appointed by God to represent the Lord's body and blood. This bread does not symbolize Christ's body, the church. That's not the right body. Doesn't symbolize that body. It does not represent Christ's glorified body that has risen from the dead and is now located in heaven. It doesn't represent that body. Christ's body that the bread of the Lord's Supper represents is His natural human body of flesh and blood. This is that natural body that God the Son, in the fullness of time, took into union with His divine nature at the incarnation. This is that body of which John 1:14 speaks when it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Before the incarnation, Christ had no human body. Now, I want to say that again because there's an important controversy going on today. Before the incarnation, Christ had no human body. He had no celestial flesh, as certain heretics have asserted. This body did not exist before He took it in His glorious virgin birth, when it was formed in the womb of His mother by the Holy Spirit. God's holy law requires that all who break that law or sin must be punished by death. Ezekiel 18:4 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." The punishment for breaking God's law must be carried out because God is just and God is righteous. If He threatens something, it must be carried out. Jesus Christ the Savior was to come and receive the punishment for the sins of His people. But He could not receive that punishment for those sins unless He became a man. He had to be a man in order to be able to die. God cannot die. He had to be a man in order to die. This bread of the supper is the symbol of His body that died. It's life being laid down by Christ and given for the life of His people. The body in our text is Christ's natural body that was marred by His sufferings and death on the cross. Now, you may be thinking at this point, why did the Lord choose bread to symbolize His body rather than gold or granite or wood or a picture on canvas? Why did He choose bread? I don't know. All we can say is that God is sovereign and He does as He pleases, and it pleased Him to choose bread for that purpose. The bread of the Lord's Supper represents the human body that Christ took into union with His divine nature and which He offered up on the cross. The second simple question I shall ask of this text, what does the word broken mean here? What does the word broken mean? 1 Corinthians 11:23 says that in the supper, the Lord Jesus took bread. And then our text says that He broke this bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, "Take ye, this is My body which is broken for you." Other scriptures such as 1 Corinthians 10:16 speak of the breaking of bread in the Lord's Supper. Here, 1 Corinthians 10:16, Paul speaks of the Lord's Supper. Look at it just one chapter before our text. "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" Now, sometimes in Scripture, the breaking of bread speaks of eating everyday meals. You've heard people say, "Well, we broke bread together last Friday night." That's the idea that sometimes it's used to mean that. This was the case when the Lord Jesus ate a meal with His disciples on the road to Emmaus, or at Emmaus at the end of that journey. Look at Luke 24:35. Luke 24:35. This speaks of the eating of an everyday meal It's called breaking bread. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. They recognized him as he ate an everyday meal. And this was also the case with Paul on board the ship on his way to Rome. Look at Acts 27, verse 35. Acts 27 and verse 35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. That was an everyday meal. But in this text, in 1 Corinthians 11:24, the word broken speaks of something quite different. Here it has reference to Christ's human body and what happened to that body on the cross. In Exodus 12:46, God told Israel that not a bone of the Passover sacrifice was to be broken. Turn to Exodus 12:46. The Passover lamb, which was a type of Christ, not a bone of that Passover sacrifice was to be broken. Exodus 12:46. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house. Neither shall ye break a bone thereof. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul says that Christ is our Passover, meaning the Passover lamb is a type of Christ who is the reality. Purge out, well, let's turn to that, 1 Corinthians 5:7. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So the Passover instructions were given, and among those instructions was that not a bone of the sacrifice was to be broken. Here in 1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul explains that Christ is the fulfillment of the Passover lamb type. Now, John 19:13 says, or rather 19:33 says, that at the cross, when the Roman soldiers came to break the dying Lord's legs and thereby put him out of his misery, so to speak, he was dead already. And so they did not break his legs. Let's turn to John 19:33. John chapter 19 and verse 33. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. Now look at verse 36 of the same chapter. Says that this happened so that the scriptures, meaning in Exodus 12:46, might be fulfilled. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. So no bones were broken. None of the Lord's bones were broken at the cross. If not a bone of him was broken, what then does the Lord mean in our text when he says, this is my body which is broken for you? What does that mean? Well, sometimes in the scriptures, death is spoken of as a breaking. This is the case in Jeremiah 19:11. Let's turn to that. Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 11, speaks of dying as a breaking. God is speaking here of his coming judgment on the people of Jerusalem. And he says in Jeremiah 19:11, and shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet till there be no place to bury. So sometimes the scripture speaks of death as a breaking, even though no bones may be broken. In our text, broken means being slain or put to death. Christ is seen in Revelation 5:6 as a lamb as it had been slain. So how was Christ's body broken? If not a bone of him was broken, how was it broken? In what sense was it broken? First of all, as we've just seen in Jeremiah, it was broken in his death. It was broken in his suffering and in his death. Think about it. Oh, we ought to think about it a lot more than we do. His body was torn by the scourges and lashes of the Roman soldiers ordered to do so by Pilate. His head and his temples were torn by the crown of thorns placed upon them in mockery. His hands and his feet were pierced with nails, and his side was pierced with a spear. Turn to John 19 and verse 34. John 19, verse 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Even though not a bone of him was broken, his skin was torn and broken by blows with whips and rods and fists and thorns and nails and a spear. His suffering at the cross is described in Zechariah 13:7 as the sword of God's justice smiting him. Let's turn to Zechariah 13 and verse 7, next to the last book in the Old Testament, chapter 13, which is next to the last chapter in that book, verse 7. God the Father is speaking, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." Christ suffered in his body the most intense torments. We can never conceive of what he suffered in his body. In that body, he suffered and bled and died. The broken bread in the supper symbolizes Christ's body as crucified, suffering, slain, and dead. The broken bread represents the physical body of Christ as offered to God as an atonement for sin. He offered this body without spot to God, an offering and a sacrifice of a sweet-smelling savor. His breaking of the bread in the supper is the symbol of his voluntary sacrifice of his body for sin. The third very simple question I shall ask of this text, what does the word for mean? F-O-R. What does the word for mean? Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. For what? Or for whom was Christ's body broken? It was not just to confirm the doctrine that he preached, nor was it broken as an example of patience in his people. This little word for gives real meaning to all the sufferings of Christ. For speaks of the substitutionary nature of Christ's death. That's the answer. It speaks of the substitutionary nature of Christ's death. The word for here has the sense of in the place of. It speaks of the voluntary substitution of Christ in the place of his people to make atonement for their sin. Christ's body was broken in the place of his people, for his people. He suffered for us who were sinners, who were enemies of God. He suffered that he suffered what we should have suffered. He was delivered for our offenses into the hands of justice and death. By His sufferings, Christ made satisfaction to God's justice for the sins of His people. I did a brief study of that word "for" in relation to the death of Christ. Talk about a rich study. Let me just read you some of what I found. Romans 4:25 says, Christ was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Broken for you speaks of the sufferings Christ endured in His body and for His people. His body was broken for us, not just for our sins, but for us. In our place, as 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. What a wonderful word "for" is. Because of God's justice, the violation of His law requires punishment. And Jesus Christ underwent the wrath and curse of God on our sins for us. Look at Galatians 3:13. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. In our text, the Lord Jesus revealed that the supper portrays His offered body and shed blood for the salvation of His people. He suffered all that God's justice requires of His people. He underwent the suffering and curse of the law and redeemed us from it. The severity of God's justice was shown in God's not sparing even His own Son. Look at Romans 8:32. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Oh, how severe God's justice was that He wouldn't even spare His own Son. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Whatever God's justice required of sinners, Christ was not spared in taking it. What God required against my sins and the sins of all of His elect, God did not spare any of it against His Son. Christ paid for every last bit of it. No sinner in all this earth should ever think that God will spare him for his sin. God's Son was the thing most dear to Him above all other things. But God did not even spare His own Son. If He would have spared anyone, He would have surely spared His own Son, but He spared him not. It's only by the sufferings of Christ that our sins can be pardoned, God be reconciled, and our souls be saved. In conclusion, this fact that Christ's body was broken for you should cause us to do two things. First of all, the fact that Christ's body was broken for us should cause us to appreciate God's love for us as never before. Well, how can you not think of the love of Christ when you think about what Christ has done for us? The love of God when you think about what Christ has done for us. This is my body, which is broken for you. That's the very highest expression of the love of God for His people that can be found. This suffering of Christ, this giving of His body to be broken for you, shows His love for us. How Christ loved us, and He would allow His body to be broken for us. To think that the Son of God should be substituted in our place. The writers of the New Testament said again and again that Christ's suffering and death is the expression of God's love for His people. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20 of Jesus Christ, "The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Turn to 1 John 3:16. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. Not the Gospel of John, but the first epistle of John. Chapter 3 and verse 16. Here the Apostle John said, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us." Now look at Revelation 1:5. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Here John says of Christ that He loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. The writer of that old hymn that we're about to sing was amazed at God's love as seen in Christ's body being broken for us. Oh, can it be upon a tree the Savior died for me? My soul is thrilled. My heart is filled to think He died for me. Second, the fact that Christ's body was broken for you should cause us to commemorate Christ's death in the Lord's Supper with greater meaning than ever before. "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the Lord's Supper, we commemorate the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:26 here. 1 Corinthians 11:26. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." Now, we do not ordinarily commemorate the death of our loved ones. I know that my father died in 2003. I've already forgotten the date. I don't know the date. We don't usually commemorate the dates or the death of our loved ones. We remember the death. Sometimes the dates of those deaths we remember, but we do not commemorate those deaths. We don't have a celebration that my father passed away. But in the Lord's Supper, we commemorate the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is because of the significance and the unique character of Christ's death. We commemorate not the death of a teacher, nor of a benefactor, but of a sacrifice. The purpose of the Lord's Supper is not to commemorate the Lord Jesus as a teacher, though He was the greatest teacher, nor as an example, though He was the only perfect example. The purpose of the Lord's Supper is to help us remember His sacrifice for sinners. The Lord's Supper is an ever-present witness to the reality of the death of Jesus Christ for us. We should participate in the Lord's Supper regularly and frequently because Christ has established it to bring His death to our remembrance. Let us carefully remember, as we observe the supper today, that Christ's body was broken for us. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the body of Jesus Christ that was sacrificed for our sins, that was broken for us. We pray that we would love You more than ever before, because now we see more of Your love for us in the broken body of Christ than ever before. We pray that we would carefully commemorate the death of Christ in this ordinance that we're about to observe this afternoon. We pray that as we sing this hymn, we might remember Christ's death and rejoice because it was for us. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. This is Pastor Lawrence Justice. If you are looking for a church that believes in and stands for God's Word in this day of wickedness, worldliness, and apostasy, I strongly urge you to attend the services of our church. Victory Baptist Church in Kansas City, Missouri, stands for the gospel of Jesus Christ, with emphasis on the doctrines of God's grace, the New Testament church, and biblical missions with reverent worship and Christ-centered preaching. Such churches are not easy to find in these days of religious entertainment and endless activities. If you are concerned about traditional biblical worship and serious doctrinal and expository preaching, I want to invite you to consider moving to the Kansas City, Missouri area and joining us. When you are traveling on business or vacation, why not plan to be present in our services on Sundays and Wednesday evenings? Or why not make a special trip just to visit us? It's easy to contact us for information about our church. Call us on the phone at 816-761-7184. Email us at lajustice99@yahoo.com. Visit our church website at www.victorybaptist.us, or just drop in on Sundays and Wednesdays at 9601 Blue Ridge Boulevard in Kansas City, Missouri, 64134.